And that right there is the sound of Obama's presidential legacy blowing up. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And happy Monday, one and all. If you want to be on the program today, 800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. Or email me, sam@samnation.com. Looky here. Today, at approximately what would have been 7 o'clock our time, Bloomberg News published an article where they laid bare exactly what the Obama administration did in the closing days and as it relates to the Trump transition team, which they absolutely 100% spied on. I'm going to explain to you what happened, how it went down, and tell you why this is such a critical piece of news, because it really does, without question, create an enormous problem for Obama's legacy. So here's what went down. The key player in all of this is a lady by the name of Susan Rice. Now, she was Obama's national security advisor, held a few other positions as well in the Obama administration. She was also ambassador to the United Nations. And here's the thing. What do we know? Well, according to the author here, Eli Lake, of this piece, apparently, starting a little before the election and then certainly afterwards, Susan Rice went in, and you know all those incidental collections, you know, the FISA warrants. Remember the FISA warrants? You can't spy on a U.S. person, but you can using a FISA warrant that's very easy to get. Very few of them are ever turned down. Using a FISA warrant, you can pick up on conversations with foreign persons. And when you do that, and you have an incidental collection, you're going to hear this word in this phrase a lot, incidental collection. When you accidentally pick up the voice or the email or whatever communication it is of a U.S. person, let's say somebody inside Trump Tower, for example, someone like Michael Flynn, or maybe Trump himself, you're supposed to mask that, basically redact that, block out whatever that person, whatever identifying information is there. So if you're talking to somebody and you're like, hey, Bob, and Bob is a U.S. person, you got to cover up Bob, even if that's all there is. And you have to label it U.S. person one and then, you know, and continue through it. And any references to Bob, it's U.S. person one. And we were told that this masking, I mean, this is a locked box. You cannot get into the locked box. There's no way Obama could have opened the locked box. There's no way anyone, you know, higher up in the Obama administration could go in and unmask these names in these reports. So sure, of course, the intelligence agencies under Obama were spying on the Russian ambassador. No problems. Of course, they're spying on the Israeli ambassador. Of course, they're spying on all these foreign heads of state. Common practice. Remember, I think Obama even at one point was picking up Angela Merkel's cell phone. You know, they had her cell phone number and were hacking into her call. So that's all fine and dandy. The Constitution of the United States, when you're Obama, does not apply to foreign persons. It does, of course, apply to foreign persons if they are the target of Trump's travel ban, but that's another issue. So at any rate, here you have all of this, all these communications that were intercepted, lots and lots of them, with Trump and his people talking to foreign persons. But we were told from the get-go that these names were redacted. They were masked. There's no way that the information was used improperly. Until today, the bomb drops from Bloomberg News. And now it is all crystal clear as day what the events of this last month look like. And really an explanation of where and how this all unfolded. So what happened is this. So apparently, there's a guy. His name is Ezra Cohen. Let me see here. Ezra Cohen Watnick is his name. And he has a Cohen Watnick has a very impressive title. He is National Security Council Senior Director of Intel. So he's on the National Security Council. And he's working in the department that Susan Rice previously was the head of. And he's going through the computer system and he's looking because apparently every one of these actions that you do, if you unmask a name, if you any FISA court order, it's all in there. It's all logged. Think of it like a ticker tape. All right. So it's there. It's black box. It's recorded. So this guy is going painfully through every one of these, you know, clicking down, scrolling, click, 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 line by line. And what happened is that as he's clicking through this, he notices line after line after line, these instances where Susan Rice herself ordered that these names in these Trump communications, which are obviously communications between Trump and these foreign persons and Trump and, you know, and Trump's people and these foreign persons, for that name to be unmasked. There were dozens, according to Bloomberg News, dozens of times that she went in and removed, that stripped away these privileges. And then it didn't stop there. It seems that she deliberately targeted communications that had no value or any relation to the investigation into Russia's meddling. It actually had to do with stuff like what the Trump administration's policies would be, what their opinions would be, who they were meeting with. In fact, and I'll read to you here, one U.S. official familiar with the report said they contained valuable political information on the Trump transition, such as whom the Trump team was meeting, the views of Trump associates on foreign policy matters, and the plans for the incoming Trump administration. This was political espionage. And it was targeted and it was backdoored in, because what's going to happen here, you're going to see that first when the court, when Obama went to the court to try to get a regular warrant, they got shut down. I told you this weeks ago. So then they went in, they got a FISA warrant. Oh, no, no, no. We just want to look at there's, you know, we got to surveil these foreign persons. And it was their back door into spying on Trump. Now, when did Mr. Ezra Cohen Watnick figure this all out? Well, according to White House lawyers that were sourced in this article, it happened last month. Now, what was last month? Do you remember this? I know it's, you know, we're already on the 3rd of April, so we you know, March is long gone. Well, it was March. And do you remember what happened on March 4th? Well, I'll remind you. President Trump, this was Saturday. I think this was a Saturday. He's in his pajamas in bed. I don't know. I'm just picturing it that way. And he tweets out this tweet that was going to consume our news cycles for the next 30 days. Terrible. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Remember that tweet? Trump followed it up with a second one. Is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election? Turned down by court earlier, a new low. And the new low is all caps. You remember those tweets came out, and you would have thought that, I mean, CNN for the next weeks was consumed with debunking this from, I mean, it's all I've been listening to. It's all you've been hearing. And now it starts to seem that there is more than a shred of truth to it. And it also explains why Trump tweeted it with such confidence. You know, one huge takeaway here, you gotta remember this. The constant underestimation and willingness to dismiss Trump as a buffoon is dangerous. Because this article here, this news today that dropped, that Susan Rice ordered the unmasking of these names, that basically, in effect, turned a FISA warrant, turned a, you know, a foreign espionage warrant into a politically targeted domestic spying, open-ended view for the Obama administration to know what the Trump camp was doing. That's the gist of this. And it also explains why Trump made these tweets March 4th. And then you'll remember, March 21st, Devin Nunes, the congressman who is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, made his secret visit to the White House. Now, he said he went to the White House to view information. Do you remember that? To view information. Well, now it makes sense. Because he went over not to the White House, but actually to the Eisenhower office building, where the National Security offices, where there's the closed computer system where he would have viewed these logs. So he goes over there. He's got a whistleblower that tells him, hey, this is what I found. Now, this whistleblower probably is the source cited in the article here that was published by Bloomberg today. But that whistleblower says, hey, come over here. You got to check this out. So Nunes, who's got security clearance, right? It's part of his job, goes over there and has to see it for himself. This information, well, if it was Hillary, I mean, he would have just said, hey, you know, why don't you send it to my Hotmail account? Right. Just copy and paste it, you know, text it to me. But this is, folks, this is how you're supposed to handle classified information. If it's on a closed system, the only way to go see it is to go see it. So he got in his car. He traveled over to the White House complex, goes to the Eisenhower office building, looks at it, goes, oh, my gosh, then runs over, briefs the president, then goes and talks, who, by the way, probably already knew about it because he's tweeting about it on March 4th. So there is a little bit of a suspicious timeline. Not sure exactly how all that went down, but speaks to the White House, then has that press conference. And you'll remember, he gets up there and he says, hey, I have seen evidence that Obama and his people targeted Trump. And everyone, we went, oh, my gosh, how this is not possible, da, 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 da. And have been poo-pooing that story from that day till now. I am telling you, this thread will continue to unravel and it will be alarming. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is this surveillance state that we've created. And the lie, it's a lie. The lie that the information that it collects is behind some, you know, magic, you know, Chinese wall, which is a lawyer term for, you know, there's no way to cross that line. You draw a line and it's a lockbox. It's impenetrable. It's not impenetrable at all. A lowly national security advisor. I say lowly because that was Michael Flynn. I mean, guy got canned one day to the next. I mean, this is not the president himself. This is just some lady in the administration, some guy sitting in that chair. I mean, that's how easy it is. There was no procedure. There was no court that you had to go to. There was no justification that needed to be given. All one appointed person in the administration could go in and click a button and unmask names, effectively turning what is supposed to be the idea of a warrant. It's in our Constitution. No unreasonable searches and seizures without court order. And the idea of a sitting U.S. president being able to listen to phone calls of a freshly elected incoming U.S. president and doing so for political purposes is literally a banana republic type of move. This is Venezuela. This is Russia. You want to talk about Putin? Obama, look in the mirror. Because this is sick. And it's going to get a lot worse. And it's going to infect everybody. So when we come back, I want to share with you. You might be wondering, what's Susan Rice saying about all this? Like, what does she have to say? And it will blow your mind when I play you what she has to say about all of this. You'll be dumbfounded, because I know I was. Now the other thing is, you've got to understand that it's the political nature of this that people are going to find so objectionable. You know, as people have defended this data collection, they've always viewed it with the idea of terrorism, with the idea of people, you know, protecting ourselves. What if the tables were turned here? What if it was President Trump spying on a new incoming administration? The world would end. All right, Sam Rogowski, back after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. Okay, continuing here to unpackage the story that has been unfolding today on Susan Rice. Apparently, that is patient zero in the scandal where the Obama administration was collecting all of this raw intelligence on Trump and on Trump's transition team, and then using that FISA warrant that prohibited any identification of U.S. persons that may have been incidentally, or read accidentally, collected. They then, and this specifically, Susan Rice specifically ordered them to be unmasked, to be unredacted, to be revealed. And she then spread the information all around and sent it to various departments. Now, I want to make one brief aside here. Even in the Bloomberg piece, I enjoyed that the story took a moment to address the fact that Trump is still wrong in his tweet. Because, by the way, the story references last month is when White House officials discovered this. And you'll remember that last month is when Trump originally tweeted that he was wiretapped. And the article says something to the effect that, Dad, it still doesn't prove, you know, Trump's claim. And I am just about dumbfounded over this, because it's all I've been listening to today. I was scouring the media to see who and how they would report on this, because it's a bombshell. And it's going to get ugly quick, because this whole investigation that was originally set up to target Trump, you know, bad Trump, ties with Russia, undermining the election, nothing is developing there. There's like nothing. There's not even a little bit of smoke. And meantime, incidental to all of this is this story that, you know, that Obama had colluded, you know, using and was spying on Trump. And this story seems to be gaining a lot of speed. So that same House committee that has been, you know, training its sights on Trump, it's going to turn around really quickly and start training its sights on Obama and the Obama administration. It's going to haul people like Susan Rice in to explain herself. They potentially even have the power to bring in Obama himself. Can you imagine how humiliating that will be? And Obama will be forced to make denials. And if any of those denials are found to be untrue and he's under oath, huge problem. Huge. So now, with this potential, you know, I mean, I'm talking epic scandal developing. What is the media saying about it? And the fact of the matter is they're just kind of blabbling their way through it. You know, do you know that CNN didn't touch this until 3 o'clock this afternoon? The story came out 7 a.m. Pacific time. About 3 o'clock, they started making some noise about it. You know, I periodically went through today And I went to CNN.com just to see what they'd have on their homepage. Because you figure, you know, this is the most trusted name in news. I mean, hell, if there's a giant news story breaking, I would think that they would, you know, they would say something about it. I don't care. I mean, I could, you know, explain why it's a bunch of horse crap. I don't care, but at least talk about it. Well, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I printed up the page again, and I'd done it about three times just to, I really wanted to make sure that I wasn't giving you any fake news, that this was a real thing. So I have my sources here. And so they're talking about the filibuster, you know, Gorsuch, the filibuster. And then the top story under news and buzz is this: Trump won't throw out a first pitch, but it isn't because he can't. Really? Literally, the world is coming undone, the political world, and the best they can do is talk about how Trump isn't going to throw out a pitch. And by the way, I wonder when Obama's going to find out about this. He probably found out about it from it today, right? Because he's always a day late and a dollar short. Obama, remember how he would only find out about stuff from the media? And then would later be disproven to be, it's just a bunch of crap, you know? Oh, I heard about it in the press. All right, I'm going to get to Susan Rice next, too, when we come back. So stay tuned. We got James Stanley with the news. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Everyone knows, the president did not know about this tactic until he heard about it on through the media.
Something we found out about along with all of you.
He found out about the news reports yesterday on the road.
When did you first learn that the IRS was targeting conservative political groups?
I first learned about it from the same news reports that I think most people learned about this. I think it was on Friday.
When did he know that piece of information?
When it came out in the news about a week ago Friday, I think.
I certainly did not know anything about the IG report before the IG report had been leaked through press.
And there you have it. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And I didn't know anything until I heard about it on the news. Well, hopefully President Obama's listening to Sam Nation so he can be fully in the picture come his time to testify on this. And that's where this is headed. And this, what I'm talking about, of course, is the revelation that Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor, ordered that the FISA warrant obtained surveillance on Trump and his transition team, that the names of Trump and his transition team members be unmasked. And it was done dozens of times. And it actually detailed, and this is a Bloomberg News reported, it detailed that actually contained a lot of political information on Trump and on the Trump transition, what they were doing, who they were meeting with, the views that they had about certain issues. By the way, if you are the outgoing president who is hostile to the incoming president, I think that's a fair assessment, by the way, of Obama v. Trump. And you're Obama in this scenario. How helpful would it be to know what Trump is thinking? To know what he's doing? To know what he intends to do? I mean, you could really trip him up. Do you remember, by the way, when I said months ago that it seemed that everywhere Obama went, he was deliberately laying little, well, I said it's kind of like when your dog gets mad at you and leaves little droppings all over the house. You know, like maybe you didn't, you know, take your dog on a good walk and then you left for 4 hours to go party with your friends. You come back, you know, and there are presents all around the house. Not saying it happened to me, but I'm just saying, well, that's what the feeling I got, you know, all the little deliberate, obstructive executive actions, different directives that came out of the White House during Trump's transition. It was these efforts to perhaps solidify and make it more difficult to undo certain Obama policies. Now it starts to make sense. I mean, they were listening in. They knew exactly what Trump was planning to do. And so they were blocking them at every turn. It's really easy to counter what your opponent is doing when you have real good intel on what they're talking about and saying and doing. And it's as easy. The takeaway here is it's as easy as one person clicking in a computer to unmask what to unmask your name. And it's as easy as, I mean, what did we do? I told you like 30, 40,000 requests for FISA warrants. Of those 14, historically 14 in total, not a year, but in total, 14 were denied. It's pretty good odds, right? So with it being that easy to obtain a warrant, the protection, of course, being, hey, there's a wall. There's a separation between the information, between identifying information about you, the U.S. person, and the rest of the conversation. Oh, there's protections in place. Don't you worry about it. It's all nonsense. Click of a button. And by the way, you could be targeted. I could be targeted. By the way, I had at least two phone calls today with people outside of the country. Think about that. I had two phone calls today with people outside of the country. And that in and of itself could allow a FISA warrant to be obtained and basically track all of my communications. This is just horrible. And it will continue to unravel. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. We'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're back. Let's go to a call here. We've got Dave in Buena Park. Dave, are you there?
Hey, Sam. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. How are you doing, Dave?
Okay. Hey, good. I just wanted to make a point on Adam Schiff and Nunes. You know, Schiff went and did on Friday exactly what Nunes did. Now, those records are stored at the White House Executive Building for anyone with a security clearance, a congressman, senator, to go and see. And so we have Adam Schiff whining and complaining and hollering as if falsely saying that Nunes had done something wrong. And what's the proof? He goes right over there on Friday, Adam Schiff, and does the same exact thing that he did. And, you know, we find this, Sam, year after year, the Democrats displaying this kind of behavior, and it is absolutely dysfunctional and corrupt. And like one talk show host said recently, to the point where the Democrat Party has become a Soviet-style party.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Look, it's always a question of imagine if the roles were reversed here. So where you're saying, look, look at Schiff. I mean, he's not held to the same standard as Nunes. Look at Trump. He's not. And Obama. Imagine Obama if the roles were reversed here and Obama was the incoming president and Trump was the outgoing one and he had surveilled Obama. I mean, all hell would break loose. You would have Woodward on CNN on a repeating loop talking about how this is the absolute next, you know, Watergate epic of our era. I'll make one more.
And Dave, the sooner that the American people realize that the Democrat Party is the most unhealthy organization to belong to, the sooner they will act accordingly and reject them. And it's imperative.
Yeah, of course. And that's what we're doing here. So, Dave, hey, thank you so much for calling in. I want to make one other point about this Adam Schiff issue, which is that Schiff, about a week ago, was screaming like a stuck pig that, there's nothing here. This is outrageous. It's a distraction. I got stabbed in the back by Nunes. And then he went, as Dave said, he went to the White House. He looked at the stuff and he came back. And I think his exact quote at that point was, I don't know why we're involved in all this cloak and dagger stuff. You know, we really need to examine this and da da da. Because what he saw there That's the biggest tell in all of this. What he saw there just blew his mind. And he realized that he had to quickly change tack, because the grandstanding about how there's nothing here, nothing here, nothing here, sooner or later, this info is going to be brought up before the committee, and it's going to be irrefutable. It's going to be irrefutable. But you know, this is what happens. This is what happens. And you know, I'll tell you what else is irrefutable. Give me a minute here. I got to talk about Swee James. Because I've got to tell you, the one thing that you want to do you see all this news about Trump, about how he's, you know, he's got his top advisor, you know, he's got this guy inside that found this information, this Ezra, Watson, what's his name? Watnick. Loyal, smart, hardworking, going through all these things, checking all the boxes. You know how long it must have taken him? I mean, he probably started right at the very beginning. Took him months, a couple months, to uncover this information. Let me tell you, you might think that you're involved in a basic accident. You're in a basic, you know, basic injury, you know, just maybe not even that hurt. You think you can handle it on your own. And then things start to get complicated. The insurance company, you're talking to them, you're giving them everything, and they just deny you. They say no thanks. And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy is what you've got is you've got to get somebody on your side that can help unravel this, that can help unpackage it, that can get to the information, that can find the information that you need, that can, you know, you've got to talk to witnesses. You've got to find out, you know, information about the insurance company, all this stuff. People don't realize how important it is to get a good lawyer on your side. Not just a good lawyer, a great lawyer with a team. And so the person you want is none other than Sweet James Burgener himself. How do you reach him? 800-881-2021, 800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rzhovsky, back right after this. When you're on
a haunted... Talk Radio. 790.
KABC.
All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And, so, by the way, what is Susan Rice saying about all of this, right? Now, she's the one who now has been uncovered. She herself has been unmasked as the unmasker, as the person inside of the Obama administration that clicked the mouse or typed in the key or whatever it was that unmasked the various names of people that were picked up in the FISA warrants in Trump Tower, right, during the Trump transition. Now, here is what, as this was brewing, but before we knew it was her, here is what she said on PBS NewsHour. Now, Judy Woodruff on PBS NewsHour is asking her about these allegations that are being thrown out there by Devin Nunes. What do you make of this? What do you make of this, what Nunes is saying? Is there any validity to it at all? Is this possible? And here's what she says.
I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunes on that count today. I mean, let's back up and recall where we have been. The President of the United States accused his predecessor, President Obama, wiretapping Trump Tower during the campaign. Nothing of the sort occurred, and we've heard that confirmed by the director of the FBI, who also pointed out that no president, no White House, can order the surveillance of another American citizen. That can only come from the Justice Department with the approval of a FISA court. So today, I really don't know to what Chairman Nunes was referring.
Excuse me. I almost choked on that. You are a liar. And worse than that, Ms. Rice, you are being deliberately deceptive. No president can order a wiretapping of a U.S. person. Do you realize how stupid and inane your characterization of the process sounds? By the way, to the untrained ear, it sounds good, right? I mean, in passing, you're like, oh, hey, that sounds pretty good. You see what she's saying? She's saying the president couldn't order it. Trump is full of crap because president can't order it. You have to do it through the Justice Department using a FISA court and da-da-da-da-da. There's this whole protocol and procedure. I guess technically she didn't unmask the name. It was her finger touching the keyboard that depressed the button that then in turn triggered a series of codes, right, of computer code that then created something else. What is this? A play-by-play of a Rube Goldberg project? I mean, kiss my you-know-whatsies. This is unbelievable. Here's how the federal government works. The Justice Department works at the pleasure of the White House. The AG is none other than a political appointee of the president. This is just like me telling my assistant to do something or one of my attorneys to do something and then them saying, well, no, I can't do that. I have to have her do it. I have to have him do it. Nonsense. This is such cheap obfuscation. And you know how you know you've got a Democrat on the run? When they start to lie even more than they usually do. All right. We will be back on Wednesday. And we'll definitely be following up on the story. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. He says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.